we're looking at on the, well, on the series, or looking at the topic, tongues. Or everybody like this, speaking with tongues, yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
Tongues yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah. And this should be the fifth section.
Glory to God. So this was my Father. We receive clarity, understanding from the written word. As the word is taught me, I receive it with all meekness to walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, as regards the issue of tongues, you know, certain times some believers grow, and it's not spiritual growth. They get to a point where the things that are supposed to be, that they knew as basic, they begin to tell you, or that is deep as basic, they begin to tell you, oh, I no longer believe in it. Like a believer telling you, I no longer believe in healing. Have you heard something like that? I've heard that from people. Hallelujah. But I've heard from two people. Hallelujah. Yes, but I tell you, I don't believe that. You don't believe that talk about healing days are gone is really true. No, but it's not true. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You know, as a young boy growing up, I saw my elder brother heal. He was supposed to have a surgery. Amen. He was supposed to have a surgery on the head. Actually, a major surgery, because he had an injury in the head. He was playing on snake, playing, and it was wet, and then he fell and hit his head on the floor. Amen. So he was supposed to have an injury. I mean, a surgery on the head. And we just kept praying. Amen. My mom goes, let's fast and pray. We believe in healing. So if you come to our house, then every morning, afternoon, evening, night is healing song. Healing song. You just pray like that. Pray like that. And then on the day, they have mucus come out of the head. It comes out of the head. So they were supposed to go for the surgery on that particular day. And they went into the hospital. This is the doctor that I planted and bought everything for surgery. And he got there. And he looked at the head again. He said the thing is dry from inside. What was outside was just about to go. But from inside, the head is dried up. But there's no need for a surgery. And he come back after 1 week. After 1 week, he was healed completely. We know spirit, we usually watch Atmosphere for Miracles. This was around the year 2000. And watch Atmosphere for Miracles by Pastor Chris O'Reilly. And one day he called him out. On air, that we have to wait. He was the one that listened to that, and he shouted, "Mommy, I've been healed. Mommy, I've been healed. I've been healed." And we waited for rebroadcast in the night. We all sat down in the night to watch it. And then we heard the young boy who was sitting down at home, and then you have like an injury on your head, and you're healed. I was completely healed. Hallelujah! You don't come and tell me that healing does not glory. I've seen healing, glory to God. I've seen healing like over 10-15 years ago. My mom had a lump grow on her breast. Yeah, and then like, what is this? I will pray. We just kept praying. Anything went on. Oh no, till today. And you know, I don't believe in healing. Come on, I've seen healing. Hallelujah. Why would people just say, because maybe they had a sickness come so hard on them? Hallelujah. And they don't believe in healing. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He sent me to a doctor. But I have a very close friend who used to speak in tongues today. Who spoke in tongues for hours. Come up a few years back, who said he no longer believes in tongues. But I said, why? Funny excuse. Hallelujah. Funny excuse. Because the foundation wasn't properly laid. And I said, just the same conviction that Pastor Shepard said. He said, he made up his mind that I was going to teach and teach well. Hallelujah. And that's what I made up my mind to do also have a year for me. To take my time to teach. Hallelujah. Because the cure for unbelief is teaching. That's the cure. ministry, we're going to teach well. We're going to look at it on scriptures well. Again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, never, I can never stop.
You know, help people. And they have just funny convictions. Some people want to leave, all they needed to do was to listen to one internet message by one trade guy, and then they stopped giving. They don't want to give back.
Amen. Just nonsense. Somebody will just blow something on the air and everybody will follow. So that means somebody will come out to me and just give you one word. Ping, 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 tongues.
I've heard people say speaking in tongues. When people talk about speaking in tongues, also evangelism. When you go, like, you leave Lagos and go to and go to Idoma. You're not about speaking in tongues, you're speaking in tongues.
Nonsense.
Okay, that's nonsense. You know, Jesus didn't talk about that. Can that happen? That would be a miracle. Hallelujah. But speaking in tongues, not speaking in another man's language. No. Hallelujah. So we have to revisit it. Like I said, there was many people don't know why they speak with tongues. Why do you speak with tongues? The first thing they want to say is, who speaks in tongues, Satan is confused. The person who is speaking in tongues is Satan. How? How? But that, can Satan be confused? Is that why your scripture touches tongues? That's why they give you another breeze. You follow and then I don't think so.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So therefore, we've got to know what
this really is. Why do we speak with tongues? Like I said to us, I said to us in the last class, I said to us, it's for worship, right? It's for worship. The whole of the Christian life is towards worship. Worship of God. Worship.
And we're going to find it where? From the Old Testament. Because the writers of the New Testament were writing from the Old Testament books. And the way they will write, the writers of the New Testament will write, they write in such a way that you have to reread again. You have to go back to the Old Testament books. So the Bible is not written in two parts, so the Old Testament and New Testament. No. No. The writers of the Synoptics, for example, they write for you to read the Synoptics or to read the Bible apart. No. They were writing the stories of Jesus, and they were writing it in such a way that you read the story of Jesus and the scatterline book as one piece. You'll find the fulfillment of scriptures in the incarnation of Jesus. Hallelujah. So therefore, we said Matthew will open up in Matthew 1:1. It says the book of the genealogy. Use that, the book of the generations rather, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Isn't that the book of the generation? That is the word Genesis. Meaning it's telling you, you have to keep this Genesis with you. Because what is writing is going to come from the cardinal books. Okay, follow me here. Hallelujah. So you write the humanity of Jesus from the scriptures. In Matthew 28, verse 20, he says, make disciples of Revelation, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son of the Holy Ghost, 19. They're teaching them 20 to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am. He's telling you that that same guy who writing about the humanity of scriptures, he is the I am of the Exodus. Did you see that? His divinity is both man and God. Hallelujah. And he says you will find them in the scriptures. So he writes for you to read his synoptic account to get out with the 39 books. Don't get detached. Don't get detached. In Mark 1:1, Mark does the same thing. Mark 1:1, it says he calls it the beginning. Another shade of the word Genesis. It says the beginning, Arche means in the word is of Genesis. If you get to Genesis, you'll find it in the beginning, God put them in heaven and the earth. They are okay. You have to go to the Genesis. Hallelujah. Say, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he calls it the gospel of Jesus Christ. Genesis is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls it the Son of God. Then he does something that Jesus, they have seen Jesus do. Though Mark wasn't, it's a thought, but yet he writes something that Jesus had done to the disciple. The way Jesus taught was how he wrote. Jesus in Luke 24:45 will say, the Bible will amen, Luke will say, he opened his ear on that and that they might comprehend. So he used that word, sinere. So that's what he's doing here. He's reading scriptures into each other. Hallelujah. He reads scriptures together. So in verse 2, he goes to Malachi.
He goes to Malachi, he says, it is written in the prophets, behold, he's writing for you to read together. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee. He said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, Isaiah.
Did you see that? So he goes again to Malachi, to Isaiah, telling you that you have to read what he's writing backwards. That is, read it from the scriptures. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You have to read from the scriptures. You go to Mark 16, he says, God will go, Christ will be found walking with the disciples. The truth is, just trying to be found. Hallelujah. Walking with them, his divinity.
He will still be found in the earth. Is that? Walking with his disciples. Glory to God. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and God is the Word. Like I said to us, John keeps information about his death and go straight to his divinity.
Hallelujah. Straight to his divinity. He said, he is the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. The Word which is God became flesh and tabernacled among us. And he said, why is from the beginning? The 39 books. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. Hallelujah. Meaning he's telling you that the words of all the prophets find their fulfillment in him.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Also making it clear, he said the Word was God. He's telling you that all the prophets wrote about from the Genesis was theology, or is theology, concerning God. You see that? What does that mean? The Devar Yahweh. Hallelujah. So they spoke God's Word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. So divinity will be found from scriptures. And when you get to John 20, Jesus sends his disciples and gives them the same task of God in the Genesis.
Hallelujah. To forgive sins. Meaning in the preaching of the gospel is God carrying out his task in the earth through men. So God hasn't left the earth. Hallelujah. Okay, following. Glory to God. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Luke also opens up with that.
Luke first of all opens up telling us that he was not a direct eyewitness to this event. But what he's writing to you is a third party writer rather. But what he's writing to you was gotten from eyewitness who are ministers from the Genesis. Did you see that? So that means his writings too will be synonymous to what? From the Genesis.
Nice for you to see that.
Luke 1 from verse 2. It says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness, that is ministers of the word. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. He shows us his audience of one, Theophilus, a Gentile, yet he will still teach from the 39 books. Luke 24, verses 27. 25, we call them all fools about to believe in all the prophets. That's what they say, all from the Christ of somebody. And beginning at Moses. Did you see where he's writing from? It makes you see. From Moses. Jesus is teaching from Moses. 44, in the Lord that has come to me while I was helping to that all things must be fulfilled. We're written in the inner law of Moses. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
In the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Oh, no, God. So like I said to us, they wrote that way for you to see. That you have to read their writings
together with the 39 books, because what they had as Bible was the 39 books. Hallelujah. For us today is everything together. So you have to read it as one piece.
One piece.
Even when they wrote their pieces. They wrote their pieces, and when they are reading their pieces, what they do is like their pieces is
Paul's teaching notes, Paul's letter, but Paul's teaching notes sent to them. So they will read it like you are reading my teaching notes and you open your Bibles. That's what their business. Or that's how their business that way. So as it's being read, you open your Bibles. You are checking it from the where? Is it from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts? No. You are checking it from the 39 books. Hope you following me here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So one of the things we said is that the writers of the New Testament, as well as every other prophet,
were writing from previous prophets. Right? Did we say that?
Right? You say Daniel was writing from who? Jeremiah. Like that. You were writing from previous prophets. Jeremiah was writing from Isaiah. Isaiah was writing from Moses. Like that. You were writing from each other. Hallelujah. Why write us all the New Testament book? What we call the New Testament book. I trust that after I'm done teaching us, not just this teaching, in November 24, we will put an end to calling the scriptures Old and New Testament books. We have to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Glory to God.
That
will put an end to his scriptures. Genesis to Malachi.
Because we want to help make sure we read the Bible the right way. Hallelujah.
We have to learn to read
the
Bible right way.
So that dichotomy in our head of New Testament and Old Testament, not to take it away. Tear it out of your head. Hallelujah. Take it away. It makes you not want to read Zephaniah. It says Old Testament. More when your mind is open to Nahu. Is it Nahu? How many of you go to Romans? Nahu!
It sounds like Nahu. Nahu?
Yeah? Nahu! They still go to Haggai. You say, how was that? But here, that is our Old Testament names.
Go here, go. Amen? Remember?
Go with the Lord. Let's see a few. So we said they were quoting each other. So you learn to read Bible as one piece. As one piece. Like I said, you read it as one piece. I'm also teaching us that in Revelation of God, you take away the chapters and the verses. So you read it as one book. You read that? One book. Read everything together. Read everything together.
As one book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said in writing from previous writers, every writer does it, they employ a style of writing called shorthand.
We said that? Shorthand. Shorthand means, I want to tell you, I'm referencing something in Daniel. Now, I need you to go and read the whole book of Daniel. Right? The whole book of Daniel. And I use the word. You see that? I use the word. So for your mind to know that you have to go back to Daniel to write, to read. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes I want to tell you that Jesus read the whole book of Deuteronomy, and I use the word. We saw that, right? In Matthew 22 and Mark 12. We saw that Mark will bring in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5, and Matthew will bring in only Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Why? The writing subject matter shorthand for you to go read everything. That means that Jesus read everything. You see that? Amen. So another writer, they will reference another writer. And telling you, go and listen to me. Go and read it all. Amen. If Matthew is writing and he wants to, for example, he wants to reference Deuteronomy. He now writes everything in Deuteronomy again in Matthew. How do you think your Bible will be? If you carry a Bible with wheelbarrow. Everything you're reading. Amen. So they write in shorthand.
So many times, that shorthand will mean you have to go back. That shorthand many times will carry with it narratives. You have to go back again and read the narratives.
You carry narratives. You have to go back and read. For example, when you have the word redeem, and you think redeem is just to go away and buy something in the market, you miss it. That word redeem will carry a narrative, the Gal in the Old Testament book. Hallelujah. So that means if you carry that narrative of God's promise in Genesis 15, how they left for Egypt, how they became slaves in Egypt, and how God rescued them. That is redeemed. Did you see that? How God rescued them. That is redeemed. So it's the whole full narrative. In fact, I'll tell you, it's the whole of the 39 book. That is redemption. Did you see that? Redeemed. So they employ that word redeemed for you to go back again and read redemption. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God.
So you understand the words from the Old Testament book. And you have to go back and read.
Also, don't forget that I said to you that the origin of words will come from where? Origin of words in the New Testament book will come from where? The Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We refer to Joel, and Joel said, the Lord's day cometh. The Lord's day. Is it in Joel 2? And he heard the Lord's day. What are you thinking of? And then Jesus referenced my day, my hour, in that day. What do you think he's talking about there? Jesus is reading from the Tanzanian language the same way Joel is reading from where? Moses. So what is he telling you? Go and read about the Lord's day in Moses. What is the Lord's day? The Sabbath. So you go back to Genesis and be able to read it. Amen. He gave them the Sabbath. He gave them the Passover. You have to read the Lord's day. Amen. Read is a word, but it carries with it a narrative. Hope you're following that. So we're going to close in on some things in the course of the week. Maybe, I mean on Saturday last week. Hope you're with me. And we said, the New Old Testament writer, when you are going back to look at how they use words in the New Testament, and you get to the Old Testament book, never forget that the Old Testament book writers employ the use of figures of speech. Psalm 78, employing of figures of speech and that saying, right? Symbols, they use symbols. And they use it to speak of God's oracles. Like we saw the use of ark. We saw the use of tabernacles. Right? Tabernacle. By Moses. And we said Moses gave them tabernacle, not temple, because they were moving, they were not stationed in a place. Right? They were on a journey to Canaan. So he gave them the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a moving temple. Did we say that? And the temple is a mini, is a moving temple, a mini temple, and the temple is a mini heaven and earth, right? Right? God's plan, God's purpose. Did you see that? So they use figures of speech. Heaven and earth in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Hope you're following that. Okay. Also, we saw the use of 70. When you get to, why did Jesus have 70 disciples? Then you have to say the question, why did Moses give 70 elders? Amen. So you have to ask the question, why did Moses give 70 elders? We say 70 is pointing to what? 70 is pointing to what? The whole earth. Right? 70 is used to point to the whole earth, because as at that time, what they had were 70 nations in the world. When I was there, they had 70 nations, 70 kingdoms in the world. So Moses is showing them God's plan for the whole earth, heaven and earth, and then he chooses 70 elders. And he also used to tell you the role of Israel to the nations of the earth. Okay, follow me. Amen. 70. We saw all that. Hallelujah. Even the use of the Levites. Levites were called priests, but that was a symbol to talk about what God's plan for all men to be his priests. You see that? Hallelujah. We got to see all of this today. Hallelujah. We also saw the use of feasts. That many times too, Moses would talk about God's oracle and he would bring in feasts. We saw Passover. And we saw Pentecost. Pentecost is a feast. Right? And what is Moses teaching? God's oracle. And then he spoke about Pentecost 50 days after the Passover. Do you see that? Amen? And if you watch the Passover, 50 days after the Passover was the Pentecost, and they had what? The Holy Ghost come upon them in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Jesus died on the Passover day, he rose up 3 days, minus 50, he's 47, he taught them for 40 days, he's been 7 days, and then within 7 days they had, and Jesus said to them, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. And we saw Jerusalem too from the Old Testament book, a place which God has set aside for you to worship. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So, why did Moses give them Passover? To show salvation. He was teaching them salvation, gave them Passover. And he tells them again, in 50 days, you will come into the land. And then, a sign of it was that on the 50th day, they had the law. Right? Whatever they had the law. The law was given to them. So therefore, we can say, the Pentecost is also what? A new beginning, right?
the Pentecost is the giving of the law.
New beginning. New beginning was a mark. New beginning. We saw all that in the last four sessions. So get those messages. If you've missed them, listen to them again. It's very vital you listen to them. Again. Hallelujah. Amen. We can't go back to it. If we go back to it, we won't do anything. We won't achieve anything.
Hallelujah. To get to that. So it's called the Pentecost. It's also called the Feast of Weeks. What? Feast of Weeks. New beginning. Amen. So in the new beginning, listen here. In the Passover, we receive the first fruit of the Spirit. Right? And on the Pentecost, what do? We offer. Right? Our first fruits. What is the first fruit? We offer what? Tongues. Did you see that? In worship. Tongues. Offerings. In worship. Did you see that? Amen. Offerings in worship.
So he said, Moses will write that in Exodus 19, when we were to receive the law, remember we said Pentecost the law? So what did they have on that day? Exodus 19 verse 16. Let's quickly rush there. Let's see that. Exodus 19:16. Let's read the scriptures together. Verse 16. He says, and it come to pass, and it shall come to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunder and lightning. Listen to that. Thunder and lightning. Amen? Amen? Thunder and lightning. And a thick cloud came upon the mount. Thick cloud. Right? Picture Acts of Apostles chapter 2. And the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. So they heard voices. Right? Right? And there came a sound from heaven like of a rushing mighty wind. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Trumpet. Right? So loud, and all the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood there. Now, look at 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether under smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Come on, yeah? Divided tongues as on fire. Can you see that? You see that? Did you see that? Aha. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked heavily. And when the trumpet, sounded long, it waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by his voice. Watch that. Put that side by side with Deuteronomy 4. Moses is now explaining this again to them. Deuteronomy 4. He mentioned it again to them in Deuteronomy 4. Quickly. Deuteronomy 4 verse 11. It says, and ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of the heavens. And darkness, watch that, darkness, cloud and thick darkness. Put your hands in Joel 2. Let's see what Joel is communicating now. Put your hands there and go to Joel 2. Joel 2. Are you in Joel 2? Amen.
Amen.
It says, I will come to pass afterwards, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, I'll pour the blessing upon, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions. We're coming to this. And upon the servant, okay, look at verse 30. He wants you to pay attention here. It says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, the blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Is that what they saw on Pentecost? I mean, is that what they saw in the giving of the law? Is that what they saw? Go back to Deuteronomy 4. It says, came that stood under the mountain, and mountain burns with fire unto the midst of the heaven, and darkness and clouds, and thick darkness. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. And he mentioned, he says, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. What? Magna was terrible. It's not only terrible, you're terrible today. Amen. Amen. That day of the Lord. So he takes them and he said, before that terrible day of the Lord, the readers knew what he was talking about. Where did they tremble? At Mount Sinai. Did you see that? So he was saying to them, the same signs they had in Mount Sinai would happen. Did you see that? Would happen. The same signs. All
whole scenario happen again. And it will happen afterwards, when they will take up the spirit of Paul. Do you that? Was they not Paul?
The signs we will see. Don't read it with signs. That's in the earth, I mean the soil is a gigantic,
is baptism. No, that's nonsense.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. If you are giving an estimate of the earth, I will just laugh and then, will you be alive when the earth gets to 8 billion years? So keep short. I'm not talking about it.
Yeah.
You will not be alive.
You're not there where you was born. You're not there where you go. So keep short. Stop talking nonsense. Amen. But it doesn't make any sense.
For that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So you understand? That's fine. It's happening again. Happening again. Remember yesterday I was teaching you that then. Just watch. When the sun dies off, it's now turned to red. Then the moon now shines red. Now we blow. What kind of theology is that?
Even when I look at my life, I just laugh and
that theology is outdated.
It's not, it was never dated at all. It was a stupid theology. Amen. Have no basis in scriptures. Glory to God. Amen. So, Joel is saying, watch what is happening. What happened in Mount Sinai is going to happen again. Afterwards. This is that. Hallelujah. Afterwards.
After what when? In the Lord's day. In the Lord's Sabbath. In the Lord's Passover. Salvation. You read that? So we said, Jesus was to fulfill all the feasts of the Jews. Right? So we said, he fulfilled. He came at the appointed time. Paul was saying the fullness of time. Is that the fullness of time? That is, he was there the fullness of all time. He came at that time. He went to was born. He died. So why did he die at 33? He died at 33 because that was the where? That was the Jubilee year. So in the Jubilee year, every slave is free. That's the Jubilee. Every slave is free. Anyone who is a bond servant, anyone who is a captivity is free. Do you see what happened to that? And he called it in Luke 2. The acceptable year of the Lord. That is how it's called. That year is called the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim it. He said he's going to fulfill that acceptable year. He did that. He fulfilled the feast of the Passover. Now there's the Pentecost. So he had his actual disciples to wait 50 days. Why would they have to wait 50 days? Why? It can be fulfilled. And when it's fulfilled, the man who believes doesn't need to wait 40 or 50 days. Amen. Why? It has been fulfilled. Okay, for me. So that means the daily man gets saved, he receives. Right? And then immediately he offers it in worship to God. Hallelujah. Hope you're understanding that.
Hope you're understanding that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So they will have the same sign. Let's see a few things. So, God goes back to Moses. He goes back to Moses. Go back again to verse 29. When he uses the word, 28, it says that Paul was in the first place, says your sons and daughters. Now you're going to see why he made that distinction. What this? He says here, your sons and daughters, chapter of Isaiah, your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. The same thing. Amen? Amen? He says, also, upon the servant and upon the housemaid in those days I'll pour out my spirit. Glory to God. If you read the account of Peter, when Peter said it, let's get to Peter, Acts 2. Acts 2, are you there? It is in verse 17. Upon the seed upon your flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Like I said, it's the same thing. And on my servant and on my handsmaid, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall do what?
They shall prophesy. You see that? They will all prophesy. When he says this, when Joel was saying this, he's reading Deuteronomy, he's reading Deuteronomy, and he's reading Exodus, and then he reads those two into Numbers. He reads them into Numbers 11. What happened in Numbers 11?
God told Moses to choose 70, and when they chose 70, look at Numbers 11 verse 16. Let's see this. Numbers 11:16. So two people were still in the camp. Who didn't come out with Moses? And the Bible says they prophesied. Immediately, Joshua, Wima student class 1, ran up to Moses and he said to Moses, sorry, that's it, sorry please, Numbers. Sorry, just one minute. Just sort it out. Okay. I wonder why. Okay, you know me? Verses 26. And every man, two men in the camp, named one Eblad and the other one Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were falling. And they were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle, but were prophesied in the camp. And they ran, a young man, and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. Did you see that? And that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. Did you see that? Did you see that? So God's plan is that everyone will be what? Is that everyone who stayed at the plan? Everyone will be prophet. So that includes, listen, young men and old men. Does that include sons and daughters?
Yes,
does that include servants and handsmen?
Yes,
you see that? They shall all prophesy. That is not where it's written from. This is that God's plan for the whole earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he's very vital. Prophesy. So God's plan is for everyone to prophesy. Is that utterance? Is that what they had in the giving of the law? Is that what they had? Did they have utterance? We saw it in Deuteronomy chapter 4. It said they came a voice from a heaven. Voice from heaven will be supernatural utterance. You see that? So what you will have in the Lord's Pentecost, which is not a day, which is not 50 days, the Lord's Pentecost is when a man puts up, or when a man takes on the Spirit within a God, right? Would that be the Lord's Pentecost? Would that be the Lord's Pentecost? So the Lord's Pentecost asks you, no. Come on now. Is the Lord's Pentecost asks you, no. Ask you the fulfillment of God's Pentecost. What is God's Pentecost? Man will speak of the Spirit within upon. You hear that? Hallelujah. So it's not a particular day, but the whole lot of believers to have it. It is found in the Lord's day. That's what I wanted to see. Okay, what is it? It's somewhere in the Lord's day. So where is the believer? In God's day. Okay, what is it? So an activity you find in the Lord's day is man taking of the Spirit within upon regularly. Hallelujah. So Moses gives them Pentecost to what? To explain that. You must see it like that way. So Pentecost was Moses giving them so that you can explain what I just said now. What will happen in the Lord's day? An activity in the Lord's day is that man will take of the Spirit upon. I hope you're following me. What will happen in Pentecost? Did you see that? There will be joy. Amen? Joy. Glory to God. Hope you're following me now. Glory, glory, glory. So let's get back to Jesus' commentary. In Matthew. Mark 16. How do we call this? Mark 16, 17. He said they will speak with new tongues. Now he brings in new tongues. Let me close in a bit on new tongues. That's the word kainos glossia. Glossalia, sorry. Amen. Amen. We're going to deal with glossalia not today because of time. But let's deal with kainos. Now when you use the word glossalia and kainos, those are words that have its origin where? In the 39 books. The word kainos is a shorthand. The word kainos is a shorthand. And we say Jesus is reading from the 39 books. So when he uses the word kainos, new, he expects you to read new from the 39 books. Hallelujah. In Matthew 26, he used that word new again. Matthew 26. Also Matthew 26. Quickly now. On the supper table. Hallelujah. In verse 20, he said, "For this is my blood in the New Testament, new covenant, he said, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
New. You still have new covenants. Hallelujah. New covenants. New testaments. New tongues.
Now that means, like we said, the word new will have its root in the 39 books. When he used the word new covenant, for example, he's reading Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 31. It says, "Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea."
Now you know what a new covenant. Now remember, I said,
this prophet is writing from who? Who is he writing from? Earlier prophet Moses. So he said, new covenant, let's see. But then he said, not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day I took them by hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them. First of all, let's hold on there.
In our world today, when you use the word new, when you say I bought a new phone. Amen? A brand new phone. It means I never had it before in our world, right? We now check your giving. Come on. You don't give for 6 months. You're using money to save for 15 promas. Don't worry. Just hide the 15 promas. Remember to see. It's not going to have a brand new. Say that. I unboxed it. Don't worry. We'll help you. You know? We'll help you box it again. And somebody else will unbox it again.
Go. Don't mind me. I'm just saying. See, Pastor, are you trying to say that your members? Anything you want to say, say. Are you my member? Amen. Let's go ahead. Where were we? New, right.
So new. So in our world, it's a new. Brand new job. Brand new. But a brand new SUV. When you say that, it means new. I don't have it before, right? So you can't place that like that or place it that way in scripture. That is new in your world. So you have to go back to your world. What is called new? Prayer. There is a new covenant. New covenant. Let's do something.
So, look at verse 32. He said, not according to the covenant. He said, yeah, that is old. No, yeah, because you have new in your head. What does he call new covenant? He said, not according to the covenant, meaning, which I did what? Verse 32. Not for the covenant which I made with their fathers in the days I took them by hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt. He said, which man covenant they break?
Isn't that?
So, listen here now. He's not saying what they had when
in the wilderness, or what they had in the wilderness
was old covenant.
No. He said it was his covenant that they broke. Amen? So if you are to put it in the words of the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 8, when he uses the word, it was Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews that then brings in the word new and old.
But we are not dealing with that today. Listen to a new song. We did some of those teachings there. A bit. Amen? But look at Hebrews 8. Are you in Hebrews 8? Quickly. Verses 8. Jeremiah 31, 31. Hebrews 8, 8. We're finding forth to them. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. What does he find fault with? Is he find fault with his words?
No, with them. Do that? So the fault is not
with his word, but with them. He said, verse 9, he says, I'll make a new covenant, verse 8. Verse 9, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers, is that I took them by hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. Because, now when you use that word there, I took them by hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, is a shorthand for what? The wilderness. Mark that. It's a shorthand for the wilderness. Whenever I see that, it's a shorthand for the wilderness. Hallelujah. Now, what did they do? Because they continue not in my covenant. Did you see that? Is that unbelief? Is that unbelief? And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. That is unbelief. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. Then look at verse 13. He now talks about oath. We're going to deal with that subsequently in the next section.
Hallelujah. When you talk about oath, let's actually now go back to the word and see what oath means. But that when he was oath there, he was referring to their unbelief. Hallelujah. So it's not saying Genesis to Malachi is Old Testament.
No! No! The Bible actually refers to New Covenant, New Testament from Genesis. This is that? Say not according to my covenant.
Where is the covenant? From Genesis. Isn't that? So what is now called Old Covenant? They are unbelieving numbers.
So Numbers 14 is where you find unbelief.
So what he called all there was that unbelief. Not his covenant. His covenant is his covenant. So when there's new covenant, is from Genesis. New covenant is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. New covenant is Genesis. Okay, following me. So New Testament is not Matthew, Mark, Luke. New Testament is Genesis. Old Testament is when they broke it. That's okay, following me. Amen.
Or why how did they break it? So when they broke it in Numbers, come on, when did God give them his covenant? Genesis? Is it Genesis? Exodus?
Come on! When did they break it? Numbers 14. And God made up his mind that they are all going to perish because of their unbelief.
Okay, what do you mean?
So God just stated their unbelief and the result of unbelief is that they will perish. For God so loved the world, he was going to tell also believe in him should not perish. But he did not say that. The background of it is Numbers.
Amen?
It's Numbers.
So where do you find men perish?
Unbelief in Numbers.
Okay, following that. Okay, following that. So that's unbelief. Okay, so come now. Let's do this. So when he says new covenant now, we say this Genesis, Exodus, right? Right?
Then he knows his unbelief.
So what did God now do? God now gives them a new covenant. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy will not be, that's the reason for the word Deuteronomy. Deuteros nomos. Deuteros nomos. Second law.
So, hold on there. So when you hear the word new, is that Hebrew word Kadash? Kadash.
We're going to see that shortly. We're going to run through that shortly. Kadash, new. Hope you're with me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kadash knew. Now Kadash also has a verb. We're going to look at Kadash again. He has a verb. Your verb is also Kadash too. If I need it, 1 Samuel. Put your hands in Deuteronomy. Go to 1 Samuel. Rush down to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 11:14. Let's see this there. 1 Samuel 11:14. He says here, he says, and Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew. Do you see that? Renew the kingdom there. So Kadash is renew, is actually to renew. To renew. Kadash. Okay, you see that? To renew. In 2 Chronicles 15 verse 8. Verse 8. It says here, it says, and Asa heard this word and the prophecy of Obed the prophet. He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed. That was to renew the altar of the Lord. To renew. Do you see that? Renew. Okay, follow me. In Psalm 51 verse 10, something we'll still look at again. In Psalm 51 verse 10, come on, it says there, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a spirit within me, a right spirit within me, and renew. Did you see that? So when you hear the word new, he's not talking about new from nothing. It's actually to renew. Okay, follow me. To renew. To renew. Like a restart. Okay, follow me. To renew. So I remember when I talked about new song. I don't know where new beginning away for me. It's not like a fresh, right? That's what I have to explain. Not like a fresh, but a renewed beginning. Hallelujah. A renewed beginning. Hallelujah. Let's put that here today. So you have Kadash for renew. Take now back to Deuteronomy. God gives them his covenant in Exodus. What did they do? They broke it in numbers. So God comes again in Deuteronomy 30. And he does what? He renews it. You see that? So, Deuteronomy 30. So when Jeremiah reads a new covenant, he's reading for Moses. How God renews his covenant with them in Deuteronomy. Second covenant. Second law. Deuteronomy's normals. You see that? Second law. Second covenant. Renewed covenant. That's what Deuteronomy means. Renewed covenant. In the same Old Testament books. Or old covenant books. Oh, you're following me. Can you see that word Old Testament and Old Covenant is doesn't just rhyme with that book? Because the book is not actually Old Testament. Can you see that? You know? Go ahead. You have the flow. I trust God. Before year 2024, we're all calling it Old Testament. We should stop. We should stop calling it Old Testament. Old Testament.
Just say that
from
the Bible.
Bible. Yeah? From the scriptures. Yeah?
Glory to God. So when I'm on top, maybe you can have your Old Testament for reference, for people, for others. No, I don't know any Old Testament. I've never heard it. You heard it, don't lie.
Yeah. Well, just good. We take it home. I want also to read it from our mind. Old and new. Hallelujah. in your study of scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see a few things as we go. Deuteronomy 30 verse 4 to 5. It says, verse 5, it says, the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers, watch this, which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do to thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Now we're talking about,
now remember, this was not the same generation that came out from Egypt. We are following me. Not the same generation that came out from Egypt. Those ones are dead.
They're dead. Amen. Verse 6, he said, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. When Jesus Moses was telling them in Exodus, yes! See, he will circumcise their heart. So everything he said to them, even though he gave them the shadows of it, he spoke to them about their heart. How are you following that? He will circumcise your heart. And the heart of thy seed. And to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all, and thou mayest live. Did you see that? Exactly what he said to them.
He said, let them to make me a sanctuary and I may dwell and bone stay. Don't you bring to their heart. And Moses gave them a sanctuary. Did you see that? And we dwell out. Now what that amongst in the Hebrew is the word for in and we dwell in. So Moses' focus was their heart. Even while he gave them the tabernacle, his focus was their heart. Did you see that? Amen. But they were unbelieving. So God, what does God do? He comes again and he renews it with the next generation. Did you see that? Amen. So he said it. What did they do? They broke it. And what did they do? He renews it again. The same thing you find again in Genesis. Amen. He spoke to Abraham. The same thing he said to Adam. Adam, who found Adam in unbelief, he repeats the same thing to Abraham. He repeats the same thing to Noah. God reinstates his promise. So, a new is used for reinstating, renewing. He reinstates his promise in Noah. Reinstates it in Abraham. Did you see that? That's what God is. He says to Abraham, he renews it with Isaac, renews it again, he restates it again with Jacob. Did you hold up all of it? So it's new. New in your is not brand new for one, but actually renews it. So yeah, they disobeyed him, the generation is gone, he comes to their children and he says to them the same thing. He's renewed covenant. You see that? He renews it to them. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. He renews it with them. Look at verse 11. It says, say, for this commandment which I commanded this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Exactly what he said to them. He said, it's not in heaven that thou should say, who will go up, who will go for us to heaven and bring it to us. When you know what heaven there is, just a mountain. Mountain in their world is called heaven. Hope you are following me. So he says, don't say who will go up in the mountain to bring another law. He said, no, it's in your heart. You see that? Amen.
Amen. He's talking to them about the renewed covenant. And they don't say, hey, there's no Moses to go out again to the mountain and bring it. He said, no, don't say it. What the prayer is? Just say your heart will go to in heaven. You get that? Amen. Who will go to the mountain? Or who shall go over the sea? That is to go again to where? Egypt. You see that? Or should we go back to Egypt again?
And restart again. No.
Okay, what do you mean? Who will take us back to Egypt and bring us out again? No, don't say that. Hallelujah. Okay, what do you mean? He said, but the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do.
Did you see that? Did you see that? Is that new covenant? Is that new covenant? Is that God restating his covenant that he gave to his to their father? Yes. That is really new covenant. Okay, following me.
Amen. So you find that God renews it with every generation. He gets to Jeremiah again, he says a new covenant. Did you see that?
So he's renewing his sentence again in Jeremiah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
And now Jesus comes as the fulfillment of everything that is there and says what? A new covenant. Is it renewing it? Hallelujah. Come on. Is it renewing it? Glory to God. So that means if Jesus is the Passover, watch me now. If Jesus is the Passover, it therefore means that there is a new beginning. Hallelujah. Away from the shadows. What do they have? Shadows. Now there's a new beginning away from the shadows. Oh, glory to God. That means no wonder he is the new Joshua that came out from where? The Jordan. Hope you're following that. New beginning, new Joshua. Did we see new Joshua? Yes, we did. Hallelujah. That was why John had to baptize him. For him to be the new Joshua. Out of Jordan again. He goes to Jordan and comes up as the new Joshua. Because there is a new beginning. Hallelujah. 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 As we see, there will be a new temple. Oh, John 4. I was reading this. We're going to look at all this next week. Hallelujah. John 4. A new temple. John 4. What happened in John 4? John 4. Those, the woman said, oh, John 4 22. The woman said, the Jews said we should go to Jerusalem to worship. But we, our father told us, is on the mountain. Jesus now said, he said, the time cometh. He said, where the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So that means there will be new worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There will be new worship. Glory to God. New temple, right? Is that new temple? New temple, new worship. Glory to God. And it happened. Renewed. You know, Moses spoke to them about their hearts. He gives them temple. Gives them the tabernacle. They have the temple. To show that what God needs is their hearts. Shadows, right? Shadows of the real thing. So the real is found in Christ. That means in Christ is the new Joshua, the new temple, the new beginning. Hallelujah. Renewed, right? Is it renewed? Hallelujah. Something we're going to see next week. Also have a renewed spirit. And you can have a new people. Is there also going to be a renewed Israel? Is there going to be a renewed Israel? Israel means family of God. Is there going to be a renewed Israel? Come on. Renewed people? That is it. Hallelujah. A renewed people. A new Israel. A new language. So we will now find a new language with them. And then, like I said, we will read that from the Genesis. A new language. A new temple. Glory to God. A new temple. Temple there. A new fire. A new language. Glory to God. We're getting closer into our teaching. We're not yet there. Hallelujah. We're getting closer into it. Glory to God. So, when you hear a new covenant, it's actually to renew the covenant. So God gives his covenant and renews it. So yeah, he's renewing it with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He fills it. I'll have that new covenant. So it doesn't mean there's anything old. The old will be unbelief. Because it's the same covenant, right? From the Genesis that we have today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we have a new worship, new temple worship, new temple language. And one of the, and the temple language is speaking with tongues. So we'll look at speaking in tongues. We'll answer questions. Is speaking in tongues the language of men in other countries that we speak today? We'll see all that from the scripture. What does scripture speak up, say about it? What does scripture say about the temple? We'll look at the new temple. Because if there's a new language, it will come from the temple principle. We'll see that. Language is a temple word. So we'll pick it from there. And see it from scripture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we'll continue this teaching on Thursday next week. Hallelujah. Continue on Sunday into the new year. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. You learned something? Have you learned something?
Are you sure you learned something? You sure, sure, sure? Okay. Let's be on our feet.
Let's thank God.